Good morning, everyone. This is another early morning video from the front porch, but it's not my front porch. It's our next door neighbor's front porch. You see this weird lock on the door? This house is for sale. Nobody's bought it yet. I'm over here by stealth, but good morning. Are you kidding me? Some of you were worried about me smoking this cigarette. The last time I smoked one for you was in the last porch video, but don't worry about it. I only smoke, well, look, I can't even light them right. I only started smoking like 3 months ago. Never smoked, you know, a cigarette my entire life. I really condemned and judged people who did such things. Sorry, I just woke up. I'm a little disheveled this morning. No, but don't worry. This is more of a hobby than a habit. I smoke American Spirit brand. It's the only brand without additives. It's 100% Native American tobacco. And like I say, I only smoke between one and four of these things a day. Sometimes I don't smoke any. I seem to have lots of good thoughts when I smoke one of these. Somebody told me after the last video that I look like an 18-year-old girl trying to smoke her first cigarette. I appreciate the compliment, but flattery will get you nowhere. What will we be doing in heaven? A lot of people want to know this. There's precious little said about this topic in Scripture, and so you have to look between the lines. You have to note what God has given us, and you have to look under the covers and open the drawers, the cupboard drawers of this thing, in order to discover even the barest minimum. But I have a lot to say to you on this topic. I've given this a lot of thought, and I think I'm onto something here. First of all, let's look at the meaning of the word heaven. In Scripture, it's the Greek ouranos. It means, it's a very simple word, two-part Greek word. It means see up. That's right. Everything you see when you look up is heaven. What is the main thing you see when you look up? Don't say clouds. I'm talking about the celestial bodies that we see, those celestial bodies of note. I would separate these into three kinds: the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's a reason God put, for instance, the stars in the heavens. It is to give us a clue. You see, God is not going to lay all this information on us because we're to walk by faith, not perception. But he's not going to leave us completely without an idea, a very good idea of what we are going to be doing in heaven. And so he sprinkled the blackness of space from our perspective. He sprinkled it with stars, with luminaries. Keep that word in mind. It's going to loom large as I bring you a verse from Philippians chapter 2. We notice the stars because they are shining among the blackness. This is a big hint for us. We even have our earthly comparison. We even have an earthly reflection of what we see in the heavens, and we also call them stars. They are the luminaries of this current eon. They are the actors and actresses on the silver screen. We call them movie stars. In Hollywood, I've been there, there is a sidewalk. It's called the Walk of Stars, the Walk of Fame. They have literal stars. Well, not, well, the shape of a star, they have the names of notables in film, music, television. These are the luminaries. These are the ones that are recognizable to most people on this planet. We also might call them celebrities. Don't belittle this, because this is another clue from God of what we will be doing in heaven. All right. Paul gives us an interesting passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I might need my glasses for this. He talks about the bodies that will come, the bodies that we will have in our glorified, resurrected, immortal state. Paul says, you are not sowing the body which shall come to be, but a naked kernel. That's what we are now. We are but naked kernels. He's comparing our bodies to seeds. Perchance of wheat or some of the rest. I am in verse 37 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yet God is giving it a body according as he wills, and to each of the seeds its own body. We will each have our distinct bodies in the resurrected state. Not all flesh is the same flesh, but there is one indeed of humans, yet another flesh of beasts, yet another flesh of flyers, yet another of fishes. There are bodies celestial as well as bodies terrestrial, but a different glory indeed is that of the celestial, yet a different that of the terrestrial. Another glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Note that Paul is now focusing on the heavens. See up, what you see when you look up. That's how simple this is. I'm breaking this down, making it simple so that you can understand it, so that I can understand it. A different glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star is excelling star in glory. Even among stars, there are different kinds of stars. You have the dwarf stars, you have the giant blues, and we have given them all sorts of strange names, like Betelgeuse and Orion and star clusters, Pleiades, for instance. Now, this very pregnant phrase, this phrase is about to bear children. It's in verse 42. Thus also is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead, in the resurrection of the dead, we shall have bodies like celestial bodies, like celestial bodies. In other words, they will be notable, they will be noticeable, they will shine, they will, these bodies, I might as well say us, we will be shining ones in the resurrection. And again, the analogy is see up. The analogy is heaven, look up and tell me what you see. Now, let me tell you something about the sun, because this is my favorite celestial body of all the celestial bodies. I would have to say the sun is number one. That's why I'm in Florida. My license plate says the sunshine state. Most people think of this in terms of vacations, beach balls, waves, coney dogs. I think of it in terms of the resurrection. I think of it in terms of what the sun is. Now, I want you to notice the calling of the first member of the body of Christ, namely Saul, formerly of Tarsus, soon to be, well, the first member of the body of Christ, soon to be a chief, a great one among the celestials. He met the glorified Christ, who was then in the form of a light brighter than the sun. It wasn't the sun, it was a light brighter than the sun. But the sun was the analogy. It was the thing, the only thing Paul could compare it to. And the light of Christ, the resurrected Christ, was so bright that it blinded him. Thus also the resurrection of the dead. You see what I'm getting at here? Now, what is the sun to us? The sun is the source of all life. Talking about the S-U-N. I'm here in the sunshine state so that I can see more of this glorious orb. I'm from Ohio, and the sun did not show up for duty much in that forsaken state. It's the same in Michigan, it's the same in New York, the same in Indiana. Yeah, it could be the same in a lot of New England. You don't see the sun much. I came down here because I love it, because it is a source of life, the source of warmth. It's the source of happiness. It brings joy to the sons and daughters of humanity. This also is picturesque of what we will be doing in heaven. Illustrative. That's what I want to say. And it's what I will say. But I will also say this, that the light that Paul saw, it was not only the source of life and a picture of the Son of God. Strange, not a coincidental use of words in the English, sun and sun. The appearance of that light changed Saul. It changed the direction of his life. It changed the direction of his mind. It turned him from a murderous lunatic into a merciful, kind, understanding, spiritually enlightened person. So the sun has dual, the sun as a picture, as an analogy, has a dual purpose. It's the source of heat and life. It's also the source of change. Now, we are to be like suns and like stars in the resurrection. We know from Paul in another place, that in Ephesians chapter 6, that there are sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of darkness, of evil. There are malevolent spiritual forces in the heavens that will need reconciled to God. They are not yet reconciled to God. We know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that He intends, through His Son, to reconcile both the heavens and the earth to Himself. In order to reconcile the earth to Himself, He calls out an earthly people, starting with Abraham. These people came to be known as Israelites, or Jews. Their chief is Abraham. God gave this message to Abraham, and he's the father of Israel. He's the father of the Hebrews, the father of the Jews, and his progeny will be used by God in the coming kingdom to reconcile the inhabitants of earth to Himself. But there is another realm. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the upsea, the sea up. The beings of that realm also need to be reconciled to God. For that task, God is picking out from the mass of humanity another group of people who are not known as the Bride of the Lambkin, not known as Israel, but they are known as the body of Christ. Saul, who would become Paul, was the first member. God is going to take these beings into heaven. These will be humans who will be translated, have their bodies put into the ground, sown like a seed. But the seed that is sown is not that which will arise. The seed that is sown is ignoble, ugly, hard little thing that you can stick in the ground with your thumb. But what does it become? It becomes something amazing, like an ear of corn, or a rose, or a stalk of wheat. This is an amazing miracle. Nobody knows how it happens. It's the miracle of resurrection. We are going to be resurrected, and Paul compares it to bodies celestial, such as the sun and the moon, and especially the stars. Now take the analogy of movie stars like Cary Grant and Judy Garland and Marilyn Monroe and transfer it to a much larger scale, to a much more noble cause. We are going to be stars in the same manner as Cary Grant was a star in the celestial realm. We are going to be notables. We are going to be beings who will stand out among all the inhabitants of heaven. But remember I told you that the sun was not only a source of warmth, a thing to be noticed, a thing to be revered, a thing to be looked at, gazed at, lounged under, but also a vehicle of change, is the light that changed Saul. So we, when we are gazed upon in heaven, when we have our celestial bodies, we will be gazed upon in awe by all the beings of the celestial world, both good and evil. But it's the evil ones that are going to be changed by our ministrations. And this is at work even now. Even now. That's right. That's what I said. In Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 14, Paul says this, "To us all be doing without murmuring and reasonings, that you may become blameless and artless, children of God, flawless in the midst of a generation crooked and perverse, among whom you are appearing as luminaries." Look at this. Verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2. I'm drawing the analogy between the darkness of space, which we look at night and we see pinpricks of light known as the stars. I'm comparing that to the present darkness on this earth. And right now, Paul says, we are appearing as, or we are to be appearing as luminaries in the world, having on the word of life. Paul then says, "For my glorying in the day of Christ." See, he's looking forward to the day of Christ. And he uses the word glory here as well. We are going to have a glory, and we are to become great luminaries. And we are even now luminaries. This is a foreshadowing. The fact that we have the word of life in us and on us right now. We are luminaries even now, but the world doesn't recognize us. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Your life is hid together with Christ in God. But when Christ, our life, is manifest, then you also shall be manifested with him in glory. It is at that time that we will become as the sun. We will become as the stars. We will be full of life. We will no longer need to eat, to drink, to sustain our frames. We will have life from within, just like the stars and the sun. They are fed from within, and they continuously put forth, blast out into space, life that comes from within them. We will be doing this in the heavens, and we will be a source of heat, a source of light, but most importantly, a source of great change for beings who have not yet known change, but who will know change, and they will know change. They will know a positive change from evil to good, and it will be by our agency.